Welcome to the Tribe of Two, the officially unofficial podcast for the Book of Boba Fett on Disney Plus. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about the season finale, Chapter 7, In the Name of Honor. Aaron, what'd you think of this episode?
Boy. You know, there was some cool stuff. You got some big Star Wars battles with some relatively cool looking dudes. You know, whoever called the Rancor Rampage in the finale.
You know, I wonder who that could have been.
You won all the internet points there. Did we do it? Because I thought it was one of our listeners.
I thought you did it, man.
No.
I thought you said it early on.
No, I did, but it was me reading feedback. Whoever had that, you get all the internet points. But like a lot of structural weaknesses of this season, which, you know, the fact that just no one, the core plot of this, Boba Fett trying to take over Tatooine as personified through what felt like the entire time a backwater, like a backwater city on a backwater planet. Like this is a battle for, and it's, and how little time and attention was paid to like the mechanics of that plot.
Sure.
Broke down because you have a almost 60 minute action scene with stakes that I don't give a fuck about. Like I cared almost more about Santo, the Wookiee, than I did Boba Fett. I care about the Mandalorian, but this isn't his show. I care about Grogu, but like Luke Skywalker returning. We joked about the unaccompanied minor, but like, holy fuck.
Hey, you got R2 there.
R2 to babysit. Sure,
yeah,
sure.
It's like you get your learner's permit and R2's there to.
There's nobody that wants to murk Luke Skywalker in his X-Wing in this galaxy.
Nah,
it's the safest form of travel in a place that like the New Republic's barely even policing. Like there's just a lot of stuff in the world building that just kind of collapsed in on itself. Didn't really work for me.
I mean, that's the biggest problem I have with it. Like we can talk about the minutiae and the details that I think are either poorly done or poorly staged or badly written. There's a lot of that too. But the thing that's the most offensive to me about this is just the way that it clearly seems to be a ploy to get people to cross over and watch more content, right? Like it wasn't enough for them to have the Mandalorian. They also wanted people to go over to Boba Fett. And now you kind of have to. Like, that's the most disturbing thing to me is, what do you do with Mando Season 3? Because they have completely changed the plot from the end of Mando Season 2. Like, Mando Season 2 was up in the air in a way that it no longer is. And if you want to see that stuff, you have to go to Book of Boba Fett to see it. And that's what is so offensive to me is that, like, once you get to Mando Season 3, somebody's going to be annoyed, right? It's either going to be the people who haven't seen Book of Boba Fett because they're not going to know what happened, and maybe they get a recap like previously on. Is that satisfying? No, not to them, I'm sure. Or the people who have seen it are like, fuck, I don't want to spend time on this. I've already seen it. Like, we're going to waste time in The Mandalorian. So they're bound to piss off at least some group of people, probably a pretty large group. It seems ill-conceived to me.
See, I don't know how large a group is because, like, I think it's the problem in the opposite direction, though, where, like, Disney for now is can bank on a sizable, like, if you are into The Mandalorian, you probably were excited to see Boba Fett, you know?
Yeah, probably.
The problem is The Mandalorian is Boba Fett 2.0, and it's better in every way. His armor's cooler.
I agree.
His character is deeper and has, you know, like the second that Boba Fett started just taking off his helmet willy-nilly and being kind of this smug, dumb asshole, like, Boba Fett used to be cool in the same way The Mandalorian's cool. He never took off his helmet. He was Spartan and Laconian in the way he talked. He was just cool. And the more he opens his mouth and the more he missteps and does things. And I don't know, because like, the real problem is like, if you were excited about The Mandalorian and, oh my God, Boba Fett's going to be so cool. The first three episodes did so much to walk back that enthusiasm. And then, like you said, the back half of the season is just in The Mandalorian 2.5.
Yeah, it's not even Book of Boba Fett. This finale could have just been a Mandalorian episode as well.
and the problem is like, to me, this is a fiasco. And again, like, look, if you're, I've said it before, if you're a mom or dad and you're snuggled up with your 5 through 12 year olds on the couch and watching Boba, you are not having any problems because this is like peak family TV for y'all. You're probably just blissed out of your mind. I get it. I don't want to take any part of that away. I just think that there's a lot of Star Wars fans that are not in that like particular situation where maybe they are ready for a little bit more mature, interesting
for
Star
God's
Wars.
Sake, I just turned 40. Give me an adult Star Wars film, please.
Yeah. And then, like I said, it doesn't have to be like adult and like sense of spattering blood. It can like Pixar makes family films that entertain multiple generations of people.
Yeah. And I think Star Wars storytelling. That's all I want.
I think Star Wars needs to find that because I think there is, maybe our feedback self-selecting, but it seems like there is a growing trend where people are like, you know, I was going to be in for every Star Wars show and now I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely not in for a season 2 of Book of Boba Fett. Like they haven't done anything to show me why I need to watch
that. I don't
even
know what the hell that would be.
I mean, at this point, yeah. What? I mean, Boba Fett.
Like he
Mos
took
Espa.
Over Mos Espa and he kind of doesn't want me. He's like, I don't want it. Yeah, this kind of sucks. I honestly thought he's in the last scene, he's going to flip the keys to the mod squad and be like, fuck, this is bullshit. I'm out. So
I hate to see that city in 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of things. Like I said, this was a big, dumb battle episode. And those are always like, and there's been big dumb battle episodes of Game of Thrones and big dumb battle episodes of almost every show I've ever seen, like Expanse, sure. You know, but like the difference is like when the guns start firing and the special effects go off, if you don't care about the characters, it's just so fucking boring. Yeah. And like, I only cared really about the Mandalorian and Grogu and you know, that's not their show. It's just so weird. It's such a weird thing. And it's so.
Yeah, I guess like that's the big thing for me is I'm disappointed that Disney's just not going to make Star Wars for me. You know, Disney is going to make Star Wars for kids and families, and that's all they care about doing.
And there's a huge market for that. But you know what? That means I can dip. I don't.
Right. Right. Know, I'm not going to stick around for that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's tons of money to be made. Like, I'm still a Star Wars fan generally. Like, why not service me? Why not give me something to enjoy? Give me something as you know, a middle-aged man or a middle-aged person. Just come on.
It does seem like
do you not like money? Do you not like my money? What?
It seems like Disney Plus has a hard problem with stratification of their content. Like, this is all like Disney Plus is the one thing you can just leave on and your kids can watch and surf from thing, and they're never going to be offended. They're never going to walk into Requiem for a Dream.
It's fucking streaming on Disney Plus.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, go watch Deadpool on Disney Plus.
I did not know. Okay, so like I don't fucking know. I don't understand why. Yeah, I'm the same way because like again, this is just too dumb. This is too dumb for me. This is like Captain Power shit, which I loved as a 7 or 8 year old blasting it on my television and, you know, saving up cereal boxes for the next thing. But like, I just don't like this is just not good enough, man. And it's not, again, I just want to make sure it's not about the swearing, the sex and the violence. It's about like Boba Fett having a plan that seems clever and has like a payoff of a couple episodes down the line that has twists and turns. And instead of like literally being, you know, made up on the spot, it felt like. Like they came up to shoot and was like, well, we got these sets, we got Boba Fett. We don't need to actually write anything interesting because episode 4, the Mandalorian shows up and he just pretty much takes it from there.
And there's just piss poor writing. It's not even about like, you know, specific parts of battle sequences that are dumb or whatever, but just piss poor dialogue in this show.
Yeah.
This episode in particular, like there's a scene, the first scene with Finnick where she's explaining Boba Fett's plan to him so that the audience can get it. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm not a child. Please write something better than this garbage. And how this can be like one of the most popular franchises and well-moneyed franchises, most financially successful, in the world and have dialogue of that caliber, it just makes me kind of sick. It makes me sick that these people are making this much money on this piss poor product.
Especially when I'm looking at other genre, you know, it sucks that Boba Fett also shared the screen with some of the best genre stuff I've seen lately, like The Expanse, even the Peacemaker.
Dude, The Boys, like, there's so much good stuff out there, and this is not it.
Yeah, and those are very adult shows, but I think that, you know, writing on the level of Stranger Things.
Yes.
Is kind of what I'm expecting from Disney. And Stranger Things is something that can be enjoyed by 8-year-olds on up to, you know, 48-year-olds. And
sure.
That's what Star Wars needs to find. They need to find that, like, Rogue One gear that is not ultra-violent and is not super sexy, and it doesn't violate what we think of Star Wars in terms of, like, its aesthetic and its appeal, but, like, it gives you, so you don't have to engage. Like, I don't think Star Wars is something you have to disengage your brain to enjoy. It didn't used to be.
It shouldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been, you know, dumb Wookiees without pants running around and starships and stuff like that.
Yeah, but whatever.
But you know, you cared about the characters and you were sucked into it from that standpoint. And I guess that's the other thing that's disappointing is the Robert Rodriguez production. The action scenes were kind of like, I mean, it's epic, right?
When there's the Rancor cool stomping stuff around. For sure.
There's also some just really, like, everyone saw the gif of the mod guy doing a 720 Jesus for Christ. No goddamn reason. And, like... But I don't know, maybe there's a kid out there that's his favorite mod and he thinks the mod guys are cool and he wants to collect all the things and he wants his bike to look like it. And
but that just feeds back into the, this is purely about the profit. This is purely about like crossover opportunities, getting more eyeballs on more of their shit. It really annoys me. As someone who was looking forward to the Book of Boba Fett to be the more mature storytelling to come out of Star Wars, as someone who was excited for that, this is not doing anything for me.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is like, I just feel like there's this constant kind of like Lucy in the Football with Charlie Brown, where it's like, oh, this is going to be the dark, gritty bounty hunter series. Oh no, actually, here's a baby Yoda, and it's gonna be fucking two seasons of Jason Statham with a baby and a baby carrier making his way through, like, you know, in that one Fast and Furious scene.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, Boba Fett. Oh, he's the original badass. And he's coming back to Tatooine to take over Jabba's empire.
And with that they did at the end of Mando, that looked badass. And then nothing.
No, it's a mod squad and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's like, it'd be one thing if this was like Jedi Academy Adventures, you know, it's going to be Luke and a bunch of young kids. And it's like, you know, like if they, but like when you've got Boba Fett, you know, like if they come up with a Tales from Jabba's Palace and it's not seedy and it's not kind of dangerous feeling and it doesn't feel like morally gray, then, like, you know, like if it turns into like the Muppet Babies, then I don't know what we're doing here, because, like, again, this feels very much bait and switch. I don't expect this from like a Luke Skywalker show. I don't expect this from like when Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ahsoka, like the Jedi, I expect that to be kind of squeaky clean and maybe a little corny. But like this stuff, I expect a little bit more. And I'm disappointed.
It is about tone, certainly. But also for me, it's about quality. And I feel like the quality of these shows, aside from the visuals, has been very bad. The storytelling quality is just bad. And it's killing my enthusiasm for something I should be very excited about, which is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like having Ewan McGregor come back to the screen as Obi-Wan is going to... should be awesome, but this is killing it for me. I'm like, well, if they put this much effort into Boba Fett, why would they put any more effort into Obi-Wan?
Well, and I keep on, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, Dave Filoni, he's the great hope for Star Wars. Oh, the Favreau, he's the great hope. Oh, this guy, you know, he's such a fan. And I'm like, I don't know, man. There's nobody that feels like they've got the way, like, you watch James Gunn, Suicide Squad, and Peacemaker, you are convinced that this man has read every fucking DC comic book and loves it, and loves the stuff that's silly and the stuff that's cool and serious. And even if you just give him the fringes of a property, he's going to flesh it out and make it a fully realized product. And then you have these other guys where you flip the entire pantheon of Star Wars to them, and this is what we get. And I do think that Disney Plus is kind of make it or break it, like, for the rest of 2022, because if Obi-Wan is more of the same, if the, you know, the upcoming, like, what's fucking Moon Knight is the next thing that's coming out down the Disney or the Marvel thing.
Sure.
Like, I'm this close to just switching off all the Disney Plus crap and not worrying about it.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm this close to just switching off Star Wars pretty much forever until someone tells me, oh shit, they've got their shit together. I that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I've been happier with the Marvel stuff, which is crazy to me because I'm not as big of a Marvel fan as I am of a Star Wars fan.
Their batting average is 50%. Oh, sure. Probably closer to 30, 40%.
Yeah, so, but it's better. It's definitely better. Loki alone was better than anything they've put on the screen that's Star Wars related. So
yeah, that's the man. And the Star Wars stuff just feels so fucking safe too. Like, it's just the lowest common denominator, little kitty. Yeah.
Oh yeah. This is the whole thing is paint by numbers. Yeah.
Don't want to make a parent explain any kind of geopolitical thing to a kid, you know, 5-year-old and start, you know, it's just,
yeah.
Just,
like the Godfather shit that they did in this is so watered down. It's like, It's fucking homeopathic Godfather, right? Like, that's the plot of this.
And I'd still go, like, the stuff that I liked, like, I feel like they did violence to stuff I liked by, like, I really liked the, you know, Boba Fett learning the ways of the Tusken and, like, connecting to a family in a way that maybe he hasn't done since his father died. Mm-hmm. And then the whole, like, framing of the biker gang, the way they did that, I didn't even realize that, like, oh, Boba considered it. Like, I just think that Boba didn't care. And then when they finally reveal, like, oh, it's actually these other guys, like, it's so hilarious. There's a 10-second push in onto a featureless helmet. Uh-huh. And you're supposed to realize that there's, like, and he grips his blaster and he's, like, roiling with emotion. I'm like, no, I don't buy it. Get out of here.
Yeah, I don't think it was handled very well. Could have been a cool story, but it wasn't. I guess we should get into the recap.
Let's do it. Let's put the book. Let's close the Book of Boba proper.
Maybe permanently. First, let's take a quick break.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering the Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwe is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga-sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. All right, we start off with Boba and Fennec surveying the wreckage of the casino. Mando shows up to tell him that Cobb is raising a garrison to fight the Pike Syndicate. Boba's pleased, but they have to buy some time. The mods convince him to stay in Mos Espa rather than going back to his palace, his sanctuary. I didn't realize this earlier on. Maybe you said it, but I didn't know who she was at the time. The person playing Drash, one of these mods, is the young Nat from Yellow Jackets.
Oh shit, you're right.
Yeah, that's kind of, right. I saw her after watching four episodes of that and was like, oh, that's her, that's cool. Doesn't make her character any better, but
no, just because you like somebody in something doesn't mean they're going to be great for this. Again, Boba feels so passive here. He's
the dialogue is god awful. Like, the whole point of this scene is to show us, like, hey, they're all setting up. Oh no, that's later. That's later when Finnick is saying
no. It's like
shit.
It's like hey, I'm gonna head back to my castle, and the junior division of his crime lord empire is like, but, and Boba's like, oh, I guess it's right. And then Mando's like, I got some foot soldiers. What's the cost? Free. You just have to stop doing drugs on the planet. Okay, I guess that's not so. Like, he's just, you know, Boba Fett has this, like, you know, we will set up shop in Jabba's castle. No, I guess we won't. You know,
he's trying not to be a dictator here, but I don't know. I get what they're trying to do. Yeah,
this is a criminal organization, not a youth ministry. Like, come on.
But they're trying to make him the good guy now, right? Like, he's the good criminal. He's the guy who's going to run Mos Espa without
There's ways
people.
You can do criminals who are sympathetic. Like, again, Watch The Godfather. Jesus Christ, watch American Gangster. Like, these are very charismatic criminal people that you see good to, and you see why they're trying to do the things they're trying to do. Like, I don't understand why you can't do that with Boba Fett. And also, and if you can't, leave Boba Fett on the shelf. Leave him in the Sarlacc pit until you know, and down to your balls and bones, that you got something for him to do.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, even, yeah, anyway, I don't want to harp on it. I feel like we've harped on it enough.
We have. All right, let's move on to then, I guess, the stranger, who everybody knows
Cad
his
Bane.
Name, yeah, because they've seen him in Clone Wars or whatever, but I haven't, and the show has not said his name yet. The show actually never says his name.
You're right. He's a stranger from the desert.
He is the stranger, but the subtitles say his name, which I found weird because the show never says it.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, it's Cad Bane. He tells the mayor and the head of the Pike Syndicate, and I guess all these others who are meeting, Cobb won't be a problem. He's dealt with him. And then Pike admits to framing. I'm just calling this dude Pike. He's the head of the Pike Syndicate.
Right.
He admits to framing the speed bikers for the death of Boba's Tusken tribe. And that gives Cad an idea on how to get Boba Fett out from his hiding spot.
It's a dumb idea, but
I thought it was the best part of the episode.
Him emotionally manipulating Boba Fett.
That isn't like action based. Yeah. Like him attempting to emotionally manipulate Boba Fett, because Boba Fett did care about his tribe. As they set it up, Boba didn't know that, you know, the Pike Syndicate were the ones who actually killed them. Mm-hmm. I think it was a neat ploy, and I actually enjoyed that moment of the episode.
Mayor McCheese is an interesting character, because like, they made him in the first couple episodes as kind of being like this mysterious guy who knew more of the score than it was actually. And he was like, you know, like, you know, who are these guys that can intimidate the Hutts in kind of Hutt controlled space?
Yeah.
And I gotta say, like, then, you know, turning the Mayor McCheese guy into someone who's like, I agreed to surgical strikes, not open warfare in my own. Like, you have no say in this. This is something. This is, they have taken over all of Tatooine. You're the mayor of one fucking city. That's not even the main city. Like, right. You thought you could dictate terms of these assholes? Like, literally, it's not just Boba Fett that's the dumbest person. Like, everyone here just comes into these situations like they're having a meeting over how many bushes they can have with the homeowners association. Like, that's not how this stuff goes down.
Right. Yeah, for sure. It goes down more like the meeting of Boba Fett with the heads of the syndicates, right? Or the what does he call them? Something the starts families. With a G. Yeah, the families. It's that's closer. That's better. But yeah, I agree. This part is not amazing.
Yeah.
I think turns out Grogu and R2-D2 land at the Mos Eisley dock where Pelly works in Luke's X-Wing. And Pelly feeds Grogu and tells him Mando is actually in Mos Espa.
So Luke did tell this three-year-old, you can choose your space daddy or you can choose the Force. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he made his choice, get the fuck out. Clean out your bed. Get out of here. I'm going to have...
Apparently, yeah.
And what is Luke doing that's more important than dropping Grogu off?
Constructing his academy, right?
You mean watching his fucking worker ant robots construct his academy?
Yeah,
like Ahsoka came by. I'm just saying, like, it seems it just seems unbelievably callous to do this to this.
Oh,
this
totally.
Child.
Yeah,
you know, and I guess it's a hyperspace jump. It's not like, you know, maybe this is essentially like, I don't know, putting a kid on a bus across town, which still is something I wouldn't do.
not a baby. Not a yeah. baby who can't speak yet.
Or like imagine like you're in one side of LA and you got shared custody with your ex on the other side of LA and you're just going to put your kid in a fucking Tesla and be like, he'll be there in 20 minutes. Like, no one would do that. No one would do that.
That's crazy.
It makes Luke seem like such an asshole. And I'm judging on a Jedi curve here. God.
Yeah, he does seem like an asshole. I'm thinking maybe he's like, you know, Grogu will come back to the Force someday, like I did, right? He's got the thing he's got to go do. I mean, it's crazy to send him off by himself. I guess and he's accompanied by R2.
It also feels all so too much, too clever. Like, you know, like you got the Naboo starfighter with the glass dome. Like, ooh, gee, I wonder what's going to sit up there. Like, everything just is begging the next step of the process. Like it's like the need for merchandising and having cool spaceships and stuff is like literally spoiling the episode.
Totally. And crossovers and all that. Yeah.
But even then it's like, even though it is obvious what was going to happen, I am kind of blown away by how fast it happened. Like, you had to get the Mandalorian and Grogu back together on Boba's show.
Apparently. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it's confusing at best for people who are only Mandalorian watchers.
I think those people are like, the set of those people are like only leave like five people out. But yeah.
Yeah. This whole thing, this whole experiment of Mandalorian and actually just the Star Wars cinematic universe at this point feels like it is solely designed to drive eyeballs to all the shows. Like, is there any reason that Ahsoka needed to show up on Book of Boba Fett? No. No, absolutely no reason. Luke could have performed the exact same function.
Right.
There are a myriad of things in this show that strike me as simply there because they saw the pieces clicking in place for the franchise, right? Mm-hmm. Not the story, just the franchise. Like, how are we going to extract money and views from people?
And what's this really sad is, like, we talked about this when the Disney Plus project like launched, is, my God, how are you going, people are already showing signs of fatigue in the fandoms of Star Wars and Marvel. How are you going to keep people engaged throughout an entire calendar year of just like one show spiraling to another, into the big movie, into another show? Even if they're like the most amazing, compelling thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, there's a finite appetite that people have for this stuff. The fact that they're doing this and it's just so mediocre, it really calls into question of, like, they're going to spend all this time and treasure to just maximize the amount of profit they can take out of a fan base in the span of a few short years. And then
it's going to be like, yeah, man,
I can feel myself caring less by the day.
You know? Oh yeah. And I don't think we're alone. I've seen a lot of sentiment.
No, there's definitely people saying, shut up. This is awesome. This is all I've ever wanted since I was a child. Shut up. You're ruining it for me. And like, I'm great, dude. You don't need my, just stop listening to fucking podcasts. You don't need podcasts for any of this stuff. You go on to Wikipedia, look up any term you're unfamiliar with. You're done. You are completely equipped with the ears and eyes God gave you to fully enjoy this show. You don't need, you know, so it's like, I was hoping that these shows would require a podcast where you'd be guessing for plots that are set up for years in advance. Like, oh, no, what? There's a plastic bubble. Grogu's going to sit in it. Probably next. Oh, nope. Actually, in three more episodes. Like, that's the amount of analysis that's required here.
For sure. They'd lampshade Grogu being a terrible name, and I don't know that that actually makes it a good name.
Dude, it's
lampshading
is
exactly what it is. It's pointing out something you did that was stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
had the exact same note. Like, you sometimes you lampshade stuff that's a little too close to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get them riled up by hitting too close to the mark, as Han Solo would say. And like, I felt like it is a stupid name.
It is. We
kind of went with it because that's his name, but this is a terrible name.
Terrible. All right. Speaking of terrible, let's go to the scene where Finnick explains Boba Fett's plan to him as we see everyone taking up positions through Mos Espa. Surely no one can sneak up on them, and someone immediately does. It's Cad Bane. He uses the info about Pike framing the speed bikers to try to entice Boba into a duel. He doesn't take the bait, instead sending Cad back to his masters with a message that negotiations are terminated. Which he'll immediately open negotiations back up, or pretend to. That's when the other syndicates attack. Finnick goes after the Pike syndicate and Mos Eisley, stopping to save the mods first. Why is she telling Boba Fett his own plan in this scene?
I don't know. And like, just setting the stage of like, hey, we're going to keep an eye on the four, the three families of Tatooine to make sure they don't betray us. And they betray him in the scene that this is actually happening. Like, this is such like just in time storytelling.
Yeah.
And there was this a couple things that just like I laughed out loud when like those pigs were forced over the edge of the cliff. It's hilarious.
Am I supposed to cry during that scene? Because
it's hilarious. Like, I kind of liked them, and as like, you know, like I remember when they came on, they first came to the show, and I'm like, oh, it's kind of, I like Gamorreans, and these guys are like scrappy Gamorreans, and they're like, you know, loyal, and like, you know, it's how will they turn these guys into characters? You know, I've seen other franchises like turn sub vocal guys like Groot into cool dudes, but like, it just didn't happen, man. They got thrown off the cliff and like, well, you guys didn't even get named, so fuck you guys, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Boba Fett's super wide stance as Finnick is. Did you see that?
Where he's got one foot up perched up on the stair.
Awkward and an angle where he's kind of have to like look back at Finnick Shand as she's like telling him this stuff.
It's got to be Temuera Morrison going, fuck, this is the worst. This is the most poorly written scene I've ever been in. I got to do something here. I don't have any dialogue. I got to make Boba Fett important.
This Beskar belt's riding up and cinching me. We're just blocking shots. We're not actually filming, right? Oh shit! This is what's happening here.
Right. I thought we'd change this dialogue, boy.
And also, I love how like Finnick is saying, "Yeah, this approach, we have all of our flanks covered." As their flanks get their ass, all four of their flanks got their asses kicked in.
I know, man.
Like within, so like you didn't have shit covered.
It makes them look incredibly stupid and incredibly unprepared. And.
And also, like, okay, if we're really going to talk about this, like, why the fuck do you have Chrysanta guarding the Trandoshans? That's so fucking weird. It's like having...
He hates them. Yeah, he has this...
Well, and both. It's like having Apollo Creed from Rocky going undercover to check out the... Not even undercover. Just walking... Just keeping an eye on the KKK.
Yeah, wearing his big fucking red, white, and blue shorts, right?
Yeah. just hang out and let us know if they're making eyes at you. Like, fuck... I mean,
It's asinine.
Let's put the two species that have the opposite of a life debt in a death grudge. Let's put I don't know.
It is. Yeah, nobody stopped for even a second to think about 90% of this episode.
They even two episodes ago established how much he hates these guys. He like just rips their arms off for really no reason. They're just having a good time in a casino.
Yeah.
But he's the one kind of keeping an eye, cool, and making sure that's this. Yeah, whatever.
Yep. That's ridiculous. Also, how seriously am I supposed to take the threat of Cad Bane when you have set up characters who have not just plot armor, but physical, actual, impenetrable armor, as far as I can tell? He gets in a duel with Cad Bane. Cad Bane's just dead because he's not going to be able to shoot through Boba Fett's armor.
Yeah, except for he's done it. I mean, that's the thing. It's like you either have history of this guy or you don't.
Does he? I don't know. I didn't watch Clone Wars. Yeah, no, which
Boba
is
Fett. That's like I said, the Boba Fett got his dint in his helmet, his Beskar helmet, from the first duel he fought with this guy.
How? What dented that helmet? I saw his a pistol. Fucking Rancor take a bite, chomp down on a Mando helmet, and nothing happened.
Well, Cad Bane's blaster is rated to dent Beskar.
What's the recoil on that thing? How does he fire it without shooting across the city? Like,
it's space magic, okay?
Jesus Christ, okay.
Alskin also says something. I've been waiting for Matt Berry to be funny as his executioner droid.
Not gonna happen.
How do you cast Matt Berry and not have him be funny at all?
Dude, they got so enamored with this fucking mayor's assistant guy, his diplomat,
right?
And that guy fucking sucks. I hate that character.
Yeah, it's not good.
Every time he opens his mouth, I cringe.
Make him the robot and give Matt Berry his role.
Exactly.
I would love to see Matt Berry with Twi'lek heads on.
Oh my god, he would just fucking come right off the screen.
Yeah,
it'd be amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. Terrible. All right. Pike moves in on Boba and Mando's position. They decide to die in the name of honor rather than abandon the people of Mos Espa. Tailhead guy attempts to negotiate on their behalf, and Boba sends him out with an offer, which is nothing. This is so paint-by-numbers rote. I've seen this in every other thing I've ever watched. Boba and Mando use that as a distraction to attack. Then a battle ensues, which includes... I mean, I don't even know how to describe this battle. It's the rest of the fucking episode, with exception of the final scene. It includes everything. It includes everything that's been in any of the Star Wars shows up to this point. It includes Pike Syndicate, the mods, Chrysantin, Scorponek droids, Peli, Grogu, Baby Yoda, Boba on a Rancor.
You are going to have to break it down a little bit better than that, because like I don't know.
I can't. We just have to talk about it. There's so much shit that happens, and it's all such a muddy like mess of a scene that I don't know where to break it.
So there's
stuff before the droids. How about that? They're shooting a bunch of people.
Where we're at, the mayor's guy went out there to negotiate, and they did the whole thing where like Boba Fett says, here's my offer, nothing.
And he doesn't even look at it before he goes out there. He's an idiot.
Right. Just as the negotiations break down, the Mandos come out flying their backpacks. The first time Boba Fett used his knee rocket on that stormtrooper last season, I thought it was cool, but I gotta say the knee rockets look dumber and dumber the more they're used.
Striking that pose is not a flattering one.
Yeah, it looks weird. It's like, I don't know. And then they're finally being overrun. The Mandalorians are getting, and then here comes the people of Freetown. It's Freetown. They got an armored skiff. You got the bartender on the heavy gun. They'd say that the marshal's been gunned down in cold blood, and that explains why they're here. You've got the mods coming in.
I feel like they just lied to him there. based on what we see at the end of this episode.
He did technically get gunned down in cold blood.
When I hear gunned down in cold blood, I think
he's dead.
We put him in the coffin and he's under the ground now.
Yeah. I mean, technically, I guess if you fall down and you're on death's door and you need a bed, like that is also gunned down technically, but it's fine. Yeah. Like, it's an open question. Do the people Freetown know that their marshal's not dead? Because it doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like it.
It doesn't really seem like it. But how cold can a body get before you can't mod it or back to it, back to health?
Then the mods come, and you said that this the lady mod is the same one that plays what'd you say her name was?
Nat on Yellow Jackets, yeah.
That's the hunter, the one that's doing.
Sure, her name's like Darsh or something, or Drash.
But I'm saying, and she's the one that that hunts in the Yellow Jackets.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have a problem with her gun stances, because in Yellow Jackets, this lady's a crack shot and she refuses to look down the iron sights of the gun. Mm-hmm. This thing, she's got this little tiny pistol that looks like the barking cricket that Will mm-hmm. Smith deploys in Men in Black. She's like double jointed and hyper extends her. Like, I don't.
I saw that, too.
I'm like, it hurt my arm to watch her shoot this thing. Like, she deployed mm-hmm. it's like, what the fuck? Is this some bad CG? Like, I couldn't stop. And it happens like a whole bunch. Like, she can shoot around the corner just by sticking her hand out, quote unquote, straight. It's crazy. It's crazy. I didn't like any of that. So the Wookiee gets in, Black Santos, Black uh-huh, Chrysanthus.
Black Chrysanthus. Yep.
He gets involved. He has no armor.
Yeah.
How many blaster shots can a Wookiee take before they go down? Because he takes
six.
like a Sonny in the toll booth amount of fire, and he's like finally he's crawling. He can barely make it. Both Mandalorians help him stand. Boba Fett promises him a back to tank. He will later come back 5 minutes from now, full combat efficiency.
Right, just pops back up, no problem.
Yeah,
I guess it was cool when he's tanking shots, but yeah, when he pops back up, no thanks.
There should be a cost to that. Yeah,
right, totally.
He should be out of the fight the rest of the time. Yep. They fall back, and this super droid Deka comes out. It's like, yeah, I guess this is stuff from the Clone Wars too, where it's essentially the droid Deka battle or dreadnought class. Fucking battle droids.
Scorponek is what Pelly calls it.
It only has got two turbo laser turrets instead of the little like hand, you know, like little blaster things.
Yes. Holy shit, is it slow. The droidicus could roll around and chase you and shit. This thing.
You're trading firepower for speed, apparently.
Yeah, this thing is slow. It turns slow. It walks slow.
And apparently the thing about this, someone asked in feedback is like, because Star Wars have always had like ray shielding and particle shielding. Ray shielding defends against energy weapons and particle shielding defends against physical objects. Like when they're talking about the Death Star run and they're like, oh, how are you going to shoot this torpedo into the exhaust port? And they say it's not ray, it doesn't have particle shielding. Just ray shielded so you can get a torpedo through it.
Yeah.
This apparently in Star Wars is the first ever combination ray particle shield. So you can't like we all saw them walk through the shields in episode one. You can't do that with these. They've combined two great shield tastes into one. It's peanut butter and chocolate of shielding technology.
Sure.
And they can nothing can not even Boba's big fucking backpack rocket mm-hmm. can penetrate these things.
That's fine. I have no problem with that.
Darksaber can't do it.
Darksaber can be wielded by Mando now. I have a problem with that. Like last we left Mando, he had a hard time lifting this fucking thing because he wasn't focused or whatever, right?
I mean, he's still taking big haymaker cuts with it. I don't think he's necessarily wielding it with any kind of like real success. But like, I'm honestly shocked that like a lightsaber can't penetrate the shield either.
Yeah. Sure. They Star Wars has a history of doing that, of inventing things that can't be penetrated by lightsabers.
Yeah.
To combat what an OP weapon that is.
Yeah. Santo tries to do it. He can't. The mod does his fucking spin attack that, boy, you could tell Rodriguez really.
Jesus.
Really thought this was going to be amazing. They run into Pelly Motto, who's got Grogu. She's got this little droid rickshaw. She's got just in time for Mando to hitch a ride and then get the fuck out of Dodge. They didn't do, like, this is, again, like, there's so much, like, Western stuff into this. Like, all the Cad Bane versus Boba is straight up West. Sure. And they, now we have, an Alamo location.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is where we're going to take our last stand. It's this, like, you know, Adobe kind of Earthworks kind of thing. They give the mod girl who wants to hold off the whole army with her fucking barking cricket. And they're like, one of the Freetown people are like, that ain't going to work, lady. So they give her a sniper rifle and she goes up to take to the high ground. Oh, my God.
This is maybe the worst part of the fight. When when those two go up together and Noisy Cricket, Dararsh, says, all right, you can shoot these guys, right? I'm going to cover you. I'll draw the fire of the Scorponok. She says this and she's standing 2 feet from her. Yeah. I will draw the fire. Where? Right to her? You fucking idiot. Like,
yeah.
Put them on separate rooftops. Like, have them, before they leave, say, I'll draw their fire. You get them. Then they run out and they both get on separate rooftops. That would work. This does not fucking work. Nobody gave a second thought.
The flow of a battle and like what it, like I even thought that like the Mandalorians when they finally came out to do battle, like when they're flying around, okay, fine. But like, do you guys, like, I get you're wearing Beskar, but like, do you have ever heard of cover?
Right.
Have you ever heard of like, okay, you fly out, you got attacked, you go from rooftop, but like, there's no, everything's just a rule of cool.
Uh-huh.
And it's fine for like 10-year-olds, but like I've seen like really interesting pitched battles where I knew the stakes and I knew the terrain and I knew the capabilities of both armies. It wasn't just like surprise after surprise reinforcement and show up. And
right.
Anyway, Mando finds out that the Grogu's back and he jumps into his arms. And there's this like, uh-huh, like, long inappropriate scene that even like Pelimato is really good for calling out to show stupid shit. Grogu, your name's trash. Also, what the hell are you doing having this tender reunion in the middle of this pitched battle where like half a city's dying?
Mm-hmm.
The rickshaw gets derailed. Things are looking grim. And then the part that I've kind of been waiting for all episode, the Rancor.
Yeah.
Boba Fett's gone off to get his last reinforcements. What? You don't have any more reinforcements? What last trump card does he have that was put up his sleeve about 4 episodes ago? It's a Rancor.
And this is fucking cool. I mean, this is easily the coolest part of this fight, no doubt.
The Rancor beast moding. But the thing is like, also, this felt like they had to shoot. They're like, you know what? We're going to make this a full hour, and we need to justify that because...
Well, this is the pattern of these Star Wars shows, right? We make the big, bombastic final episode, and it's a pattern with all of Disney stuff, I think.
Yeah. You're right. Like, this was the wheels kind of fell off of the WandaVision. I don't think the wheels ever got on for the Captain America Falcon Soldier crap.
Never saw it.
But yeah, so the man, and the Rancor is just like batter. Like, it's cool. He's just battering these droids. He's just he's just so pissed off that these droids are shooting him, and he's just pushing their shields and just like with sheer brawn strength. Is going to overwhelm their circuit breakers or whatever. Mando sees that their shields are weakening, so he bullies his way through it. I think they're color coded, like their ray shields are blue and something else is red. Stabs a droid in the head, which I thought that was going to be it, but nope, there's still more. Grogu's got to use the force on this guy, to pull a bolt off his leg to kind of not even destroy it, but kind of cripple it. The Rancor is able to finish it off. The Rancor essentially wins everything until the... Rank of Cad Bane
shows up with the flamethrower. Yeah.
With the flamethrower and throws Boba Fett off, cows the Rancor. The Rancor goes running off.
Before we got to that Cad Bane part, I kind of liked the Rancor being sort of a wild beast, right? That's destroying things.
It
kind of turns on its own, doesn't really understand like the sides of this battle once it loses its rider.
Yeah. Kind of neat. I thought that they might play that, like, Boba Fett and Mandalorian look very similar, that, like, so the Mandalorian could just jump in his saddle and know that Rancor is having none of that shit.
Yep.
Trying to bite his head off, only his Beskar saved him.
I kept expecting it to pull his helmet off and that to be like the moment where, you know, Mando is revealed, right? Like Mando, but that's too big of a moment for the not Mando show.
So then you got Cad Bane saying, you know, saying like, essentially I've beaten you and I've gotten the best stuff from you. You tried to go straight, but you got your father's blood. You're a killer. He wins his, and here's the thing. It's like, I just don't know that I buy, like the last time Cad Bane and Boba Fett squared off, it was kind of like a draw. Cad Bane thought he killed Boba. His armor had saved him, but Boba was very much like a teenager. He's raw, kind of like, you know, this is a Boba Fett who's the most feared bounty hunter to the galaxy. I can't believe that he, the same shit beat him. It seemed like, and I was just thinking this, like, you know, as I was like, well, how's he going to get out of this? It's going to have to be somebody. And what happened was that he remembers he's got his gaffy stick strapped to his back. And as Cad Bane's talking shit to him, he just sweeps him off his feet and then impales him with the spear into that thing.
Yeah.
It felt weirdly a moment where Boba Fett again looks like a fool and also kind of anticlimactic.
So what they're going for here is that tribe thing, that tribe idea again, right? Like Cad Bane's over and him, he's saying the only way you ever win anything is to think only of yourself. And it's all right. About greed and the single person, the single lone gunman. And then he uses the stick that he got from his tribe to take him off his feet and defeat him. So
yeah,
sure. I get you're going for that. It just, none of this really worked.
And then since this thing has to be a climactic giant battle for an hour, now the Rancor is rampaging through the city. The mod squad's going to try to stop him. That's not going to work. Mando tries to stop him. That doesn't work. What does work is cute ass Grogu coming out there, and the Rancor doesn't know what to make of him. And Grogu uses the Force to put the Rancor to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grogu cuddles up next to the Rancor and sleeps like he's like the little kitten that's just bullied a Great Dane or something. And it's cute, but it's also kind of like trite. I didn't have much patience for this shit by the end of this episode, you know?
Sure. Oh, totally. I mean, after a 60-minute action scene, yeah, I'm with you. I did think it was pretty hilarious as like Rancor is trying to bite Mando's head off. Mando eventually just puts his flamethrower in his mouth and lights him up. And I'm thinking, right. Ooh, too spicy. Too spicy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mando's just a little too spicy for the Rancor's taste buds.
Yeah.
It was like an indigestion commercial, right? Like,
yeah. I was ready for the habanero, but you hit me with the ghost pepper and too spicy.
Yeah, pretty
Need
funny.
Need some Tums. And then you got a scene of the three families being abandoned by the Pikes because it's too dangerous to do business. And then Boba Fett and his squad comes in and they get got.
Well, it's just Fennec. Yeah. Fennec shows up and murders them all.
Yeah. And then that's it.
Boba walks through the city as the new mayor, de facto mayor of Mos Espa, I guess.
I think he's bowing. He's complaining about his genuflection arm is getting worn out. He's loved and respected by everyone. And then he says, maybe this stuff isn't for me. And they then pan to like the Crisanto and the mods are standing there. And I really thought he was going to be like, you know what? You guys take this fucking city. I'm bored with it. Me and Finnick are going to go be badasses. So we can get our we're going to book two Electric Boogaloo next year. And it's going to be we're going to put away all this kiddie shit. I don't know. But they don't. And once again, the Mandalorian music takes over Boba's own fucking show as he takes to the stars. And there's Grogu in the bubble.
I was wondering, like, when they say, like, oh, the Bacta tank is in use. But then I see Kersantan over there and I'm like, well, he's not in it. So who's in it? There's a moment of like, OK, that's interesting. Who's in that? And I thought maybe Mando, because he got pretty fucked up during that battle.
Right.
And he's God, not really yeah,
the
shown
Rancor,
there.
The Rancor double fist slams him through like Duracrete structures.
Dude. Yeah. I don't care what kind of armor you're wearing. That's going to hurt.
yeah, it's not molecularly bonded to your fucking skeleton. You're going to break a clavicle or something. I don't know.
But it wasn't him in there. It turns out it's Codpiece. Is that his name?
Cobb Vanth.
Codpiece Vanth.
And he's
his
and
cold,
the mod guy.
Dead body is stuffed and, into a back to tank to just see what happens.
And the mod doctor lights up his mad scientist X-Acto knife, and I guess they're going to replace.
They're gonna rearrange his guts. They're gonna give Finnick his midriff.
I don't know, man. Like, the thing is, Cobb Vanth is a cool dude. Like, there's a, I saw a good theory about, like, cause, you know, Cara Dune, New Republic Ranger is that project is very much up in the air because Disney and, the actor that played her had a falling out over some political stuff. So, like, a lot of people are like, you know what? Fucking make this guy the new Republic Ranger because he's badass and we like him and all. And I'm like, well, that sounds kind of cool, but now they're going to, like, do robot shit to him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I just don't know if I'm going to be watching. Like, if you do a Vanth series, I'm not in for it. If you do Book of Boba Fett Season 2, I'm not really in for it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if I want more Timothy Oliphant, they just greenlit a whole Justified miniseries, so that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
and like I said, I'm not out completely on this stuff, but I think it's going to be more of like I'm going to wait until I hear. I definitely want to come back for Mando.
Yeah, season three of Mando is the only exception.
Because I do like Mando. I am honestly bummed that we're not going to get a Mando without the Grogu season. Mm-hmm. Kind of irritated that that's going down the way it is. But like, I do like the Mandalorian as a concept and their storytelling. Again, Saturday morning cartoon, but like not this kind of like disjointed. And it feels like there's definitely a through line that you can follow. But I don't know. Like the other stuff, it's like I feel like I might be to the point where I'm going to wait and hear if people talk about like, you know what, this is actually legitimately good.
Oh, no, Obi-Wan especially, because like that's the one I was most excited about if Boba Fett had been decent. But yeah, I'm going to wait on that now.
Yeah. See how it shakes out, because this is no longer this is stepped on product. This is stuff that like I don't just because I see the Lucasfilm logo. And the Star Wars, like I, you know, that's no longer like, oh, I'm going to see a banger. Like, you know, the way I feel about the Marvel logo, it's like when I see that even now with the TV shows, like I'm like, I'm expecting to be entertained and to have fun. And I'm not feeling that with Star Wars. And I haven't felt it since essentially Rogue One. Like Rogue One's the last time I walked out of a theater thinking, you know what? I actually feel rewarded as a Star Wars fan for seeing that. On multiple levels, and
let me go revisit that. I like The Force Awakens.
I like The Force Awakens.
Sequel movie was good, even if it was just, you know, Star Wars again.
the wheels have kind of come off the Star Wars franchise, which is not something I saw coming. Like, you know, Disney taking this thing over, taking it away from Uncle George, putting it in some sober hands.
It's like, how could it get worse than the prequels? I fucking hated the prequels. How could it get worse? I don't know that it's necessarily gotten worse. It's a different kind of bad, a different flavor of bad.
The Red Letter Media guys made the Rich Evans was saying they were talking about this. I forget in what context. He's like, the interesting thing about the new sequels and the Star Wars TV shows. Oh, I think it was their year roundup. He's like, it's kind of redeemed the prequels. Like the prequels are better.
Come on.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I don't think he was saying
they're better. Yes, they're not good.
They were things that held together as their own kind of thing. You know,
sure.
And the new Star Wars stuff just doesn't seem like you can't even have continuity between a trilogy. Like the directors pushing and pulling and for their ideas and disregarding each other's work and tone. And there's just kind of like, hey, this is Star Wars. There's no way we can fuck it up. Turns out there's a bunch of ways. You guys have demonstrated like 8 in the last decade and I'm not a fan. So,
yeah, the way you can fuck it up is simply being in it for eyeballs and dollars and not being in it for the fans. Like, you're not in it for the fans at this point. You're really not.
And the only way
all the fan service they do is just that. It's like in service of making more money.
The winning argument against that is like, give it to a passionate fan that will make it for passionate fans, and you'll make even more money.
For
and
sure,
it'll be sustainable.
Yeah,
like what they did over on the Marvel side for 15 years, and they just haven't found
and make
that
it truly
still.
All ages. Make it smart but entertaining for children, and I will watch that.
And I think Dave Filoni, false fucking god. Yo, he wrote some good cartoons that you like. No, I went back and watched a little bit of the Clone Wars. It's okay. It is not what we're looking for here. And like two or three shows into his tenure, I don't have faith that he's got it the way like Kevin Feige. I still don't know what the 10 years in this. Right. I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name. The way that like that guy clearly gets it, and the way like I see James Gunn clearly getting like DC and like obscure Marvel stuff, like the way he really gets the comic book stuff. I don't think that anybody, and maybe it's because everyone's got a different idea what Star Wars is to them. Like, they grew up with what they were doing with their action figures and which comic books they read and which, you know, Kevin J. Anderson books they did or didn't read. And no one has like a finger on the pulse of what it means to be Star Wars and a Star Wars fan and what's cool about Star Wars the way, I don't know, maybe I think Marvel is even more diverse, but shit, I don't know.
You would think so, yeah.
All right, well, we've done enough bitching about this. I apologize if... you know, we've bummed you out about the Boba Fett show, but I'm even more sorry that they bummed me out about Boba Fett. Tribe at baldmove.com is how you leave messages about the Tribe of Two podcast. Again, I would look for us to be back for Mandalorian season 3 and probably not before then.
Yeah.
We'll keep our ears to the ground as Obi-Wan, and we might talk about that off the clock if we're hearing it's good stuff. But yeah, Mandalorian's probably the next thing we're going to check out.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R. R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if very special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain. Featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, as a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Brett is up first. He says, I've enjoyed your coverage of the series despite the last three episodes deviating away from what I expected. I've immensely enjoyed what I have seen. Black Chrysanthemum is an absolute beast mode. Was a pleasure to watch. I just wish I witnessed him pull a few more Trandoshan arms off when he escaped that ambush. Just goes to show, you know, I keep a badass Wookiee down. Another scene to add to this episode would be cutting to Boba Fett's going back to fetch the Rancor from Jabba's place. Danny Trejo's character is giving Rancor a manicure.
God, I forgot Danny Trejo was in this. Yes.
When Boba Fett suddenly mounts the Rancor and goes to leave with Danny running after them, yelling, wait, wait, you haven't finished your training. And he throws the enormous nail file down in disgust. The thought of this scene made me laugh. Keep up the good work. If Disney keeps pumping out this type of content, I am in for the ride. And that's
right. Well, somebody's enjoying it.
That's beautiful. I love this for you. I'm really, again, I'm not begrudging anyone. Like someone defiantly posted on Twitter on Friday, like, you know what? My six-year-old thinks Boba Fett is the best Star Wars he's ever seen, and that's good enough for me. And I can't argue that statement. If your six-year-old
sure.
thinks this is the best Star Wars he's ever seen, and you just want to go with his subjective opinion on that, I can't argue with it. I would suggest that maybe six-year-old is not the best arbiter for what is good Star Wars, but, you know.
I mean, I don't know. If you just want your kid to be happy with Star Wars, then sure. Sure, that's good
enough.
A lot
of parents do. Honestly, yeah. That you just summed it up. There's a lot of parents that, like, I love Star, like, just, you know, the same way you want your kid to belong to your religion. Like, they check Jedi right. on their religious affiliation, and they want their child to do it, too. Arcade Shenanigans. This probably makes me a monster, but sometimes I wonder if the most interesting thing they could do to demand the verse would be to give Grogu the Ned Stark treatment. It could be used to establish the most hated enemy and create tension between responsible factions or give Mando a push towards a darker place. Think you guys
Gideon gets the Darksaber back and just slices his head right off.
First of all, Disney will never, ever, ever do that.
And this is akin to killing a human child on film. They won't do it.
Probably worse. I think there's some people to be more disturbed by Yoda getting than a human child being murdered. Exactly. Let's continue the email after. I just want to put out that this is fantasy.
Okay.
This is fan fiction. I think you guys put it best comparing the storytelling here to a Saturday morning cartoon. It probably won't get Logan in Space levels of emotional complexity, and that's okay, I suppose. The Star Wars fans seem to yawn at a multi-planet genocide from the First Order, but if something were to happen to Baby Yoda, the Epcot golf ball would probably be set ablaze in protest. Seriously, though, level-setting expectations to Saturday morning serials sort of helps me enjoy these shows more by meeting them on their own terms, and thanks for that. And that's the thing. I wish these shows were better, or I didn't feel compelled to podcast them, because I don't think it's like, you know, doing a podcast for DuckTales.
Mm-hmm.
I love DuckTales as a kid. Gizmo Duck, just amazing.
Yeah.
The spinoffs, Darkwing Duck, oh, superlative. But I wouldn't do a fucking weekly podcast on it. Not for $1 million.
Right.
Because there's just not nothing. Unless it's a 5-minute, like, funniest thing Scrooge did. Mm-hmm. Rate the top 10 dives into the money bank, you know, this season. Like, or the money bin, you know? Like, there's just not enough there. And
I don't know. There's that episode where they froze time. Like, you could talk all about, like,
it's true.
The implications and the, yeah, just all that.
the moral complexity of Scrooge McDuck's relationship to the gang of thief dogs. What were those?
The Beagle Boys? Yeah.
The Beagle Boys. It puts everything between Boba and the three families of Tatooine to shame, honestly.
Are you telling me it wasn't a morally compromised act to move the baseball when they froze time so that they'd swing and miss? That's a sign of that child going to hell fast. That child's going to be in jail in 20 years.
It's true.
Webigail, you're going to jail.
Double T from Melbourne. Hey, guys, I wanted to add something to your discussion about Star Wars television. You're right, this show is awfully samey compared to The Mandalorian, and you're far from the only one who wants a more complex storytelling among the variety of shows coming down the pike. Part of the issue is that Boba and the Mando are made by the double Fs and the same production team and set in the same timeline. Of course, we have Obi-Wan coming down soon, which will be a welcome break from the Mando stuff. But
will
the show...
will it, though? That's my question at this point.
Yeah, like, again, is like, is it the same production team and the same, like, it's probably a different timeline, but I don't know what the fuck Boba or that they're going to do with Obi-Wan. Because the show I really want to put on your radar is Andor, the Rogue One spinoff due later this year. No. I think this is a dark horse show that isn't getting much hype, but has the most potential. It's made by a completely different creative team. The showrunner is Tony Gilroy, who wrote the Bourne trilogy and Rogue One. It's a spy espionage show about the early machinations of the Alliance as it works in the shadows to establish itself. It promises to be a more darker, more complex adult fare with the best Star Wars villains like Tarkin and Vader lurking in the background, along with the likes of Mon Mothma and Bail Organa. It's going to have a longer 12-episode runtime, which puts it allows it to have some more complexity. And cast member Stellan...
or to have at least 4 episodes that are just Mando. Yeah.
and the cast member Stellan Skarsgård recently commented on how pleasantly surprised he was by the quality of the writing.
I have to see that from trusted sources at this point. Like, I'm not willing to jump in and just say, yes, I will go with this day one anymore.
Yeah. I will say that is exactly the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Like, it's not a Jedi. It's not a smuggler. It's not a starfighter pilot. It's spies and espionage and from the guy that did Jason Bourne. Like, that stuff sounds hot.
Sure. Sounds great. But so did Boba Fett. At the time.
Yeah, and then you had the fucking Technicolor mod squad roll up on their shitty Vespas, and Jesus Christ, there's no way you can make those look cool. There really isn't. It hurt to see Fennec Shand take off in exactly the kind of backwater chopper motorcycle that these guys should be rocking in this very episode.
Yeah.
Like, they know the aesthetic. They just chose to spy kid it up.
Oh, one other thing that I loved about this episode is the Rancor trying to take a bite out of a land speeder. That was pretty awesome. Eat Dave it like it's an ice cream sandwich.
You like a fudgesicle? It kind of shaped like one.
Uh-huh.
Dave from Melbourne in Australia. The overarching premise of the series was always flimsy, and not just in hindsight. We called it out as the chapters unfolded, but hoped for a logical redemption with the finale. The showrunners virtually called it out numerous times through the dialogue, but the characters plowed on anyway. They were always outnumbered. There's no army to speak of. The three families were always going to betray them, which Boba acknowledged in Chapter 4. Not sure where Boba thought his support was going to come from, as it wasn't until the Mando told him about the people of Freetown this week. And when they did show up, it was just one spear full of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is like Boba Fett... things happened to him that saved his butt bacon.
Yeah.
Like, if it weren't for the Mandalorian, if it weren't for Fennec Shand, if it weren't for these things that kind of he lucked into, he would have been ran off of Tatooine. Like, it feels like his plan was, I'm going to show up, I'm going to knock on Jabba's door, I'm going to blow Bib Fortuna's head off, I'm going to sit on his throne, and then ... profit.
Yep.
Respect, not fear. That was the other cornerstone.
Still a big question mark profit, because now that Spice is gone, how is a crime lord actually even a crime lord at this point?
Right. It's going to run the ass trade on Tatooine.
Sure. Casinos. Just
the lucrative brothels. Yeah.
The other thing about this whole episode is that for as many factions as were involved in this fight, it felt like the scale was not nearly big enough. You had two battle droids, or, you know, I shouldn't call them battle droids because that's a very specific thing. You had two Scorponok droids and essentially like 15 of the Pike Syndicate dudes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the force of the Pike Syndicate? Where are I guess like that's the best fight they could muster here.
And again, this was just a bigger version of the last stand fight they had in Mandalorian season one, you know?
Oh, with the IG-88. Yeah.
Well, and with the storm with Moff Gideon landing with the storm crack stormtroopers, and they were all pinned down in that that bar, and
right,
with IG-11 the last stand. I don't know, man. Like, that was smaller scale, but I cared about the Mandalorian. I cared about Grogu. I even cared about the stupid IG-11.
Sure.
I don't know. Like, but it is the exact same plot, the exact same last stand, and the exact same kind of location with the exact same architecture. And they had, you know, they changed which faceless goons. They weren't stormtroopers. They're Pike Syndicate. But, like, Pike Syndicate are just dumber, less cool stormtroopers. So I don't know how you roll this, you know, run that back. But they did. Zeke says, it's been a while since I wrote in, but since no one brought it up last episode, I wanted to suggest and ask, are Anakin and Grogu the same age? I did a quick search, but I think since it's possible to be wrong, I don't want to say the timeline of the years I found. But that said, if we were to believe that Grogu is indeed 50 years old, I have the over and under an Anakin's age to be somewhere between 56 and 50. Could this mean that the prophecy is actually about Grogu the entire time? I was going to mention that until you send in the feedback, and I let it for the feedback. But like, I am wondering if it's one of those situations where you've got like a Harry Potter Neville Longbottom. Like, there's one chosen one, and they're born under very similar circumstances at the same time. And are we sure it's the one guy, not the other, kind of situation? I know you only vaguely understand because you don't do the Harry Potter shit, but like,
yeah, I don't know what that is, but I understand the concept. Sure.
Yeah. There's a pro, like, you know, when the quote unquote real Jesus was born, there's a whole bunch of messiahs running around Palestine saying that they're the one, you know, that usually when you have these kind of like prophetic type stuff, you've got more than one person that kind of can fit that mold. I kind of wondered that myself. If there is, I don't think they've executed very well, but if there is the germ of this kind of like, hey, you know what? Let's bring balance to the Force for real, and let's take a decade to do it over the next X-Men trilogies and Star Wars shows and all that. That would be interesting, because you'll have a character that can grow up with an audience, you know, like Grogu. Yeah. Can grow up 2 years of kid age every year of showtime and be like an 18-year-old. But what is a fuck? What the fuck does an 18-year-old moody teenage Yoda look like?
Gets tattoos, gets his ear pierced.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Cause it's like, that's the thing. It's like, that worked really well in the Harry Potter where like the audience can identify, but like, I don't think the
start
people can identify.
Smoking death sticks.
Yeah, he's gonna go snorting spice. I don't know, but I think broadly speaking, bringing balance to the Force and having Grogu be a central figure of the Star Wars cinematic universe going forward seems like a good play, because he's extremely popular.
Oh yeah,
people are invested in him. Yeah. Moving on to Steve J. So the good guys at their disposal have three starfighters, one of which is the actual X-Wing that destroyed the Death Star, and they go in with a semi-controllable Rancor as a weapon of choice to turn the tide. Don't forget about the up-armored family station wagon. They had that thing, too.
Yeah, you jump in the not-Slave One now and start firing death from above. Those Scorponok droids aren't going to stand a chance.
You have two starfighters and a gunship at your disposal.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. Somebody was going to jump in one of the bigger ships at some point, come in, save them, but nope.
At this point, it's obvious there's no semblance of actual law enforcement or government on Tatooine, so just take your ships and lay waste. What are the Pikes going to do about it? Call the New Republic and complain that Boba Fett killed all their spice runners?
Right.
Also, there are X-Wing cops in orbit casually waiting to pull over speeders that are hot-dogging around civilian transports, but open warfare on one of the planet's major cities just... don't want to do the paperwork. Yeah. I'm so confused by this show. That's what I'm talking about. The world building doesn't feel consistent. Mm-hmm. That like Boba Fett is ruling the planet, but he's struggling with like a city on Tatooine I've never even heard of. Like most ice budleys, oh, well, that's the wretched hive of Scum and Villainy. Yeah, of course, that's where all the major. But like the most, I don't know. Brent says, question, didn't the prequels teach us that you can walk through force shields? Was this lazy story writing, or do you have any insight into Star Wars force fields? Again, I think that you're supposed to understand that there's ray and particle, and this is a new type of that does both. So
does particle shielding work against ray?
I wouldn't think so. Because it's in, yeah, why? What are you talking about? Oh, I see.
The character. Never mind. Yeah, it's a bad joke.
What the okay. All right, boo. Yeah, you have to be a dad. You have to father a child to pull off that shit and do those dad jokes
fair,
to him.
Fair.
Also, it's a shame about what they did to Cad Bane. Such an excellent bad guy that should have been introduced much earlier in the series. He's got the faster reflexes, but he gets beaten by a stick. At least he gets got used to utilize his knowledge of using fire and a rancor, since giant laser cannons and metal spikes are no problems. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is like, do you need to kill a guy like Cad Bane off?
You don't. And I look at this and I see what they're doing with, you know, all the Western homages, right? Like, clearly that's what this guy is. The man in black or whatever who's coming into town to fuck shit up. Usually those movies spend an entire hour and a half building that character up as the bad guy to have the duel at the end. Here it feels like they thought they spent that time in the Clone Wars, and so they didn't need to spend it here, but I've never seen the Clone Wars. And so for me, it did basically nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And we do get like every week someone suggesting that we should watch all four seasons of the Clone Wars, and I just want to let you know that will never happen. I'm not going to go watch seven episodes of fucking Voyager so that I can comment on Picard season two, and I'm definitely not going to watch four seasons of the Clone Wars and the Bad Batch and whatever else so I can keep up with the Boba Fett stuff. Sorry. Danny says, three things have stuck with me. Number one, fuck Luke Skywalker, to literally smile and get all nostalgic last episode when Ahsoka mentioned Anakin, but you just yeet your only student because he's confused because Daddy Luke only sees him once a year and Grogu isn't hyped about a sleepover. All co-parenting jokes aside, Luke is supposed to make the order different and he's already fucking it right up. I called that out for what it is. Like, this is like fucking that's the kind of shit I expect from the evil mom on Sharp Objects on HBO. Like, this kind of like blatant emotional manipulation and abuse of a baby, Luke. My God. Two, the space fucking space Vespas are slower than the droid chariot. Yeah, this droid rickshaw that Pelly Mott's got. The Vespas are half speeding it into a huge gunfight, and it's like paint drying on growing grass type slow. Can we kick the droid chariot up a gear? It feels fast enough to get away from Droideka on the spice. Third, but not really as important because we just pretend it had to happen, but Boba wants to protect the people in his town, and he fucked the whole place up with his rancor. Like, the blaster bolts will buff out, but fucking King Kong rancor tearing the whole place up gonna leave a mark. We didn't mention that, but like, that's the kinds of homages.
This is tough for me because, like, look, if somebody has something like a tumor that's gone wrong with their body, you got to get in and fuck up their body a little bit to get that out, right? Like, you're not gonna take these droids out without fucking up a little bit of the city. So I don't
got to break a few eggs to make the omelets, you're saying?
Absolutely. I just wonder which would have fucked up more of the city, the rancor coming in and getting loose and tearing through everything, or getting into Slave One and raining hell down upon these droids.
His fire spray patrol boat, I think, is what you're trying to say, not Slave One.
Excuse me.
That's the thing. It's like, because I could see a fan saying, well, they said that they don't want to destroy the whole city, so that's why you can't just strafe shit with starfighters. But they unleashed a rancor. I know.
Yeah.
It, like, knocked down a lot of buildings, man. Like, big municipal looking buildings. Like, I don't know. Mayor McSheese is going to have to operate outside of a refrigerator box for the next couple months because this shit got wrecked.
McCheese is dead, right? McCheese got shot to death.
I guess McCheese, yeah, probably. Yeah. Both of his stomachs.
Yeah, he
got, yeah, both of his stomachs and mouths got snatched up.
Yeah.
Should have used his supersonic bellow attack.
Right.
That thing does 3d6 plus 2 damage, and I don't know what Finnick would have done about it. He says, I did enjoy the last three episodes the most, but they had the least amount of boba. He goes, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something from the show, but I really feel like they missed a mark with this. Fuck me, though, because the mouse has me by the balls, and they'll just watch about any just about anything Star Wars they put out, and maybe this is just them laughing at me all the way to the bank.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It is.
They Why would you watch shit that you don't like?
Like, you got the mouse on the ropes here. He's like, this guy's going to stop watching. He's going, he'll just watch whatever we put out. You know, like, it's like, right. Yeah, why?
And then he comes back with the haymaker, and there goes your wallet.
Yeah. Why? If all you care about is what makes your six-year-old happy and that fact that there's a lightsaber on the screen, then there's no reason to make this shit better, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I've gone through this with other fan bases that were like not wanting to admit, like the middle part of Walking Dead. We're like, you know, is shit, and people be pissed about pointing it out. And then like when you get them like in the crushing grip of your reason and logic, and they're just always deployed. They're like, well, it's just a stupid zombie show. Why can't? Well, if it's just a stupid zombie show, why do you care about me saying it's a stupid zombie show?
Right.
You know. It's the same type of feedback. It's like, well, if you don't can't like the show, why you shouldn't say anything about it? Like, well, if you don't like our podcast, you shouldn't write me and harass me about it.
Well,
like the fucking double dumbass logic just goes right back to you, dude.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, right? Like here you have you're saying you're not enjoying it, right? And yet you're still watching it. So what does that even mean? What does that even mean?
I get it.
Like, I don't enjoy this, but I do it anyway. And yeah, there are people who have, self-loathing behaviors, certainly. And I'm one of them. I do a lot of shit I wish I didn't do because I hate it. But this is I easily take the stand and go, I'm just not going to watch that because it sucks.
Like, I feel people, though, because I think Star Wars is special to a lot of people, and certainly it was to me. It's just that I guess I'm I feel like the prequels kind of broke my fan heart, and it started to get repaired with like The Force Awakens and Rogue One. Mm. And then like, oh no, this is still stupid shit that makes me feel like was A New Hope even that good? You know, like people like the when people start to tell you, it's like, you know what? That shit was all for kids, too. And it didn't make any sense. And was dumb. Wrong. And you're like
that
as
actually
an adult,
hung together as a story,
especially Empire. Like Empire's untouchable. Yeah. Empire's a good ass movie. And I don't know. I don't know how we've gotten to. I don't know how we got to this point. I don't.
But if you don't like it, you don't have to watch it, especially if you don't have a 6-year-old.
Because the thing is, it's like, you know, like just drop Disney Plus for a year. Wait until you hear people watch stuff and they say it's really good, and then pick it up. Pick it up just put your money down when you've got like a month of content to watch, and then you can cancel it again. Anyway, Tom says, I'm stopping the email halfway through this final episode because it's that bad. Honestly, it's the problems for me. I lay primarily at Robert Rodriguez's feet. The worst episodes in my mind were all him, 1, 3, and 7. There are clear missteps in the structure of the show, and I agree to an extent the characterization of Boba in the script felt off, but the whole thing felt childish in the episodes Robert Rodriguez did. Just look at the brutal nature of the intro to the Mando episode 5, and I think so many of my complaints would have just gone away if they had that level of grittiness for Boba stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Mando was the hardest motherfucker in Boba's
show. That's a really cool scene, man.
He's beheading people.
I know.
In a meat cleaver factory. I really think there could have been something there at the plot if they presented it, but it was like they had one director making G and PG level stuff and the others going PG-13. The different tones just made the Rodriguez stuff feel all the more glaring. I enjoy his other stuff, but here I think he just had a totally different vision from everything than anyone else. And yeah, I mean, like I said, Robert Rodriguez has done a lot of good stuff I like the mariachi stuff, the Desperado, Once Upon a Time.
Death from Dusk Till Dawn.
Dusk to Dawn. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. What was the double film he did with Quentin Tarantino?
Oh, the Grindhouse stuff.
The Grindhouse stuff is pulp but fun. But then you get stuff like Spy Kids and Machete. And you might think Machete is cool because Danny Trejo is cool, and it is cool, but it's really fucking stupid. And although the first Spy Kids, I kind of like, but he's just got, I guess he is not as a sure thing as you'd want him to be. And I feel like he brought all the wrong skill sets to this. He brought a Spy Kids tool set to what's supposed to be a gritty Godfather type of, you know, crime ridden backwater bounty hunter type of thing, and it just didn't work for me. Didn't work for a lot of people, sounds like. We only have a few more left here. Alex says Boba Fett was the man with no name of the galaxy, a blue collar beat to hell hunter. He was the first character in Star Wars I felt like that was more of a badass than Darth Vader. He quickly outsmarted other bounty hunters. Vader knew that about him. Han Solo, Chewbacca knew that about him. He's a notorious motherfucker. What happened? The series is doomed from the beginning. The Mandalorian should have always been the episodic hunts of Boba Fett across the galaxy. For some reason, we received an identical character who was also a bounty hunter. Why did they do this? The more they built up Mando, the more Fett shrank. And then in his own show, they made him dumb, gullible, and feeble. He had to go around telling people, hi, I'm Boba Fett, and I took over for Bib Fortuna. Nice to meet you. What the hell? Anyways, I've always felt incredibly salty that they brought in a duplicate character to take over Boba's job. Even more so that they neutered him in his own show and basically turned him into full-on Temuera Morrison. Temuera Morrison. So this version of Fett is non-canon in my galaxy. yeah. I mean, that's exactly what happened.
Yep. You laid it out.
James says, I'll keep it brief. After seeing the faulted end of the Book of Boba Fett, it got me thinking to myself, do we need these Star Wars shows? Are any of them of any worth? Let's compare them to the Marvel side. I won't give any of these shows away, but for so far, each show has moved the overall Marvel narrative along. I'll bet slightly for one of the two shows. So far, the Star Wars shows haven't done anything to move the Star Wars stories forward and feel somewhat pointless. Why not make shows that move the story forward from the most recent film?
Well, it feels like Marvel's a different thing, right? Marvel's got like a timeline. Marvel has,
yes,
like a, you know, they're opening it up to multiverses and shit, but like it's got an interaction between everything that works because it is a single timeline, where Star Wars is working on like 3, 4, 5 different timelines, yeah, none of which are really going to be able to cross over very much.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot you can do with that.
And Marvel could do that. Like if they decided that the Captain Marvel timeline from like the 80s was pop, you know, they could like start and they could go back to Cold War era stuff with like Hawkeye, but they don't traditionally.
Right, right.
It might be like a one kind of episode character exploration or whatever, but like they live in a cinematic universe, and the Star Wars is, they got shit happen 10,000 years ago. They got shit to happen 40 years ago. They got shit to happen right now, 20 years from now.
Yep.
If now is the Battle of Yavin, you know, like,
it's just not going to feel as cohesive. Like, you can't move a ball forward if there are 5 balls.
And there's certain gravity to that, like, Battle of Yavin that kind of, like, that's where the core, the white hot core starts. So they're, like, tempted to always kind of, like, not get to. But that makes the universe feel very small because, unlike Marvel, they haven't got this huge cast of characters where, you know, like nothing ever fails. Like Doctor Strange, he's a weirdo. He's a magician. He's got a sentient cloak. That'll work. We got a talking raccoon and a tree man. That'll, like, Star Wars hasn't, beyond Luke, Leia, and Han, and I guess Boba, like, they don't really have those big, big, vibrant cast of characters that just don't lose. And I don't know what they're going to do about it. Craig, for me, the most part, I thought the Book of Boba Fett was good. I can definitely see its flaws and why, and I hate to say this a lot because of this day and age, negative feedback gets more attention. A lot of people felt let down. I do think the writing of Boba has a lot to do with this, especially since his reintroduction in The Mandalorian. Whether the creative team had restrictions on what they could do with the character is up for debate, but his actions and motivations don't marry up with both fan expectations and what they actually set up earlier. They definitely should have just folded this story in with The Mandalorian itself, right?
Yep.
Much like earlier at The Walking Dead, when after the main characters were set up, the universe could be explored better with different factions and characters. It also had the added benefit of something that is not working, you can write yourself out of pretty much easily. Yeah, I mean, I said it once and I'll keep saying it. I don't know why this wasn't just that turned it into the Mandalorians.
Yeah.
In season two, the Mandalorian, because you've got the Bo-Katan stuff, you've got Boba Fett. All that stuff is interesting in their own right, and they have reasons to be together. They all have their shared heritage that they don't understand identically, but of being a Mandalorian and what that means, but good and bad. And like seeing them all figure it out together and like, you know, redeem Mandalore and set. That's a clear arc that could have like carried lots of seasons of shows. And instead it's like all, I don't know why this is the Book of Boba Fett rather than Mandalorian season two, three.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you, man. It feels like a mistake.
It's got to be some kind of antiquated Hollywood thing where it's like, well, we've got the main cast for this and they're paid this amount. And it's got to be a money and contractual and executive producer kind of thing. That like they're like Hollywood wasn't created in the year of like webisodes. You know, this was like sure. Back when you did one movie and you had a guy and you had above the line. And now this is all like really fucked up and a lot more fluid. So maybe it's that. Maybe. Anyway. That's what we got for Boba Fett. I'm closing the book and
yeah,
I'm putting
him
back on the shelf, and I'm not picking him back down unless I hear phenomenal things about Book of Boba Fett series two or whatever.
Yeah. If I hear some of the people who have been criticizing it, like, you know, an Alan Sepinwall or somebody, come around on it next season, maybe I'll check it out. But until that happens, I'm done with Book of Boba Fett.
I don't say it's like, it has nothing to do, because like some people took shot at Mr. Morrison's act. To me, this is not anything to do with the people on screen in front of the camera, except for maybe the Mod Squad. But it's not their fault that they were miscast and put into this right. universe. This is all about the writing and the tone, like the fundamental, like day, like this never should have got out of the writer's room into production, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the grueling pace of this either. Like, if you don't have a certified banger, keep working on it until you do, man.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they want the money machine to never sleep. And
it doesn't. Like, there's like,
but
Disney the sun never sets on their empire.
I get that. But also, there's money. Yeah, every moment that there's not something Disney Plus out there, they're losing money, right? In their eyes.
I guess. But they have such a built-in market of like parents with kids. Like if you had a kid from 0 to 12, you're probably gonna have Disney Plus if you can afford it.
Sure.
And it's fairly cheap. It comes bundled with like goddamn near. So it's like I guess you'll just have to make money at your fucking theme parks and at your theme park to movie ride cinematic conversions with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Like you'll have to sell some Star Wars toys and some Star Wars books and some Star Wars jammies and shit. Like, I'm sorry that you can't make money on your streaming platform. Like it's just, especially when at the end of the day, they got to know that they are, like you said, strip mining this. And there's like environmental costs to the fan base of doing that.
They're not even doing it exceptionally well. I know that Disney Plus has been not gaining the subscribers they expected it to. They've been missing their marks on like their quarterly stockholder reports and shit as far as.
That's something we got to do. You're fucking up. You're shitting the money bed.
Right.
The mouse will not abide you shitting the money bed.
Really fall off. So I don't know. It's whatever their strategy is, it does not seem to be working on any level, really.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. We'll see if they can pull the old fire spray patrol boat out of the steep nosedive they put them in.
Well, we won't see, but someone will see.
So, well, we will see in the grand scope of time. Thank you for going on this journey, this book club with us, with the Book of Boba Fett. We will definitely see you back for Mandalorian season three. And we'll, like I said, keep our ear to the ground about some other stuff. Any Star Wars Disney project will come out here on the Tribe of Two, because it's still me and Jim. We're the tribe. I don't care what Grogu does and what Jin Jaren does, but we're still the Tribe of Two you can trust.
I mean, we were prescient on it. they got back together. The tribe, even if you it's thought true. The tribe was Grogu and Mando, they got back together in this
they
season.
Got back together. And if you are looking for other stuff that we do, if you want some other kind of mediocre writing in a bonkers setting, I can recommend The Walking Dead. This is coming on their final season, starting up in a couple weeks. We got full coverage of that. We're also, if you like genre science fiction stuff, from washed up characters that have seen better days, we got Picard season 2 starting up real soon. True. And if you like actually good television, David Simon is coming down with another cops and robbers cops and criminals show set in Baltimore. Creator of The Wire, him and Pelicanos is doing a miniseries for HBO in April. And then if you want a good pulpy comic book show, we got The Boys coming out later this summer. So check it out. We got stuff. We got stuff to tickle your science fiction bone and your prestige bone day in and day out at baldmove.com. We will see you on the next Star Wars project when we come back to it. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Later.